It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a long road trip back east for the Aggies as they square off against UConn. Your home for all the play-by-play coverage of Aggie football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Mountain Land Supply on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Like I said, there was it was more to it than the quarterback position. And Nate didn't play poorly. He, you know, his numbers were okay. We did turn the ball over once. But yeah, we got to find some ways, plural, to do a better job moving the football. But we'll see what happens.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is your U Preview show. Frank Dolce is hanging out with us as he does every Thursday. Hey, remember, coming up tomorrow, it's a Football Friday presented by Utah First Credit Union. No judgments, just auto loans for all credit types. Apply online today at utahfirst.com.
Before we jump into this next topic that you've got ready for us, Scotty, really quick, I had somebody tweet and say, what was UCLA rushing-wise before taking on Utah? They had 150 yards out of the gates against Coastal Carolina. Then they had 250 yards in Game 3 against San Diego State. Then they had 400 yards against NC Central. Before they showed up against Utah, and obviously Utah at that point shuts them down for a paltry 32 yards. So they had a 400-yard running performance, 250 against San Diego State. Coastal Carolina was able to do a little bit more against them, but one of our listeners just wanted to know.
Yeah, so they'd run the ball well. Now, granted, level of competition hadn't been that high, but
yes,
Utah was.
But they ran into a wall, and here's the deal. Junior Tafuna is coming back, and he's coming back slow, and he's starting to look more and more like himself. But make no mistake, this defensive front has been about Tanivasa. This defensive front to this point has been, I'm talking about the interior, has been led by Tanivasa, who has done work. Keanu Tanivasa has been in. Every time I'm doing video review for Utah work, Tanivasa's, I'm putting at least one, maybe two videos out of him. He's doing a fantastic job in the middle. So let's say Pepe and Junior Tafuna get back. Samote Pepe and Junior Tafuna get back. You're not supplanting.
No.
Keanu Tanivasa.
No.
Point.
No. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's like these guys have really rose to the occasion. And I mean, you know, a little Wally Pipko in action going on here where, you know, look, you spend some time on the sideline due to injury. Good luck trying to get, I mean, you'll get reps and you'll get opportunities, but not to the level that you probably thought going into the season.
Yep.
All right. So obviously I hate that we spend every week talking about this, but we have to, Hans.
Have to.
You just, I mean, it's just the reality of the situation here. The question was, is Cam Rising going to start the season? Well, he didn't start the season against Florida. Okay, is Cam Rising going to sneak in for the start of conference season? No, he didn't start against UCLA. Now is it, well, is he going to play against Oregon State? Well, you know what? Until I see him trot out on the field, I'm going to say no.
If I had if I was the leading stack of chips right now at a poker game, I'd push them all in on what Frank just said and say, he's right. I think Frank's right.
That he's not going to play this.
That's a bad week to come back.
Yep.
And him playing, not playing last week is an indicator of another issue. And I'm pushing all my chips into Frank's theory.
Okay. I wouldn't play him either. I don't think he plays against Oregon State. You have a bye week next week. Mm-hmm. And then it's Cal at home.
Perfect
that's,
time.
That's better
the,
week.
That's the game right there. Yeah. And because you got USC the next week too. So that's your tune-up.
If you're going to come back, that would be the week.
If he doesn't come back against Cal, I don't think he's back this season.
But
no.
But let me tell you.
I think the Cal game is the marker.
Yep.
But let me tell you this. If I'm Kyle Whittingham, I'm looking at my perfect record, and it's on the line at Oregon State. If I can convince him to do it, this is the one that I would tell him and the doctors and his position group coach, and I would tell them all, this is the go week. And if they say, nope, not this week, then as a head coach, I'm thinking we need to start to picture this season without him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm curious about what other influences he has right now outside of, and I'm talking about people who may be consulting him on a career at the next level, and about whether or not, I don't know that that's a factor at all. I'm just making assumptions that he could be listening to some of that. And if he's listening to some of that, like, this is a really risky week for him to step back in, because Oregon State has the ability to make good quarterbacks look average. And there's no question a healthy Cam Rising is a difference maker in this game. Like, a healthy Cam Rising makes Oregon State do things defensively that they don't necessarily want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just want to stack the line of scrimmage and get after the offensive line and stop the run game and pressure the quarterback and do all those things before a quarterback can make a decision downfield. Well, with a healthy Cam Rising, you can't do that. He'll burn you in the pass game. And Utah hasn't demonstrated that ability without Cam Rising yet. So there's no question that he's the difference maker. Healthy. He still is coming off of that injury, and we don't know exactly his health status, even though he's practicing without restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a ton of factors to consider in this.
At what point in the week do you think Kyle Whittingham knows if he's going or not?
He better know today.
Well, he probably should know on Tuesday, right? Because that's when you start to divvy up team reps.
Well,
and you want to make sure, if he's not going,
It would have been Monday, Tuesday this week. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday this week.
And if he's not going, you need to know
on
Monday.
Yeah.
Because you're divvying up every starting rep to Nate Johnson. You got to know early.
And Bryson has to get work, too. I mean, it's like...
So we had, you know, Ron McBride came on Friday and said, hey, I've been up at practice all throughout the week, and Cam Rising is getting the majority of the number one snaps. Now, Coach saw it with his eyes. Like, and so Coach assumed that he was going to play, and then something happened Thursday night to Friday where all of a sudden he didn't go. But that doesn't mean that Coach McBride did not see Cam Rising take a ton of first-team snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I'm like, you are hurting us by taking first rep snaps. If I don't know by Monday or Tuesday, preferably Monday, if you're not going to go, then you're doing Nate Johnson a huge disservice by not getting those first team snaps. And so that's why, I mean, we saw the situation last year against Washington State, and then perhaps to a lesser extent last week.
Exactly.
And if I'm Kyle, I'm like, hey, man, look, either you go or you don't go, but we can't do this dance anymore.
No, I think that it. I think what happened last week is much more along the lines of what happened at Washington State a year ago. Like, it was Cam was a factor in the decision whether or not to play. Like, it wasn't. It wasn't. Hey, if you're medically cleared, you're playing. I think Cam may have had something to, more to say about that.
Well,
and
okay.
Not that he doesn't every time.
If,
but
yeah.
By the way, if Coach Mack was right on that, which he most undoubtedly was, that means that Nate Johnson was practicing thinking he wasn't going to start.
Yeah.
And that's a different type of practice.
It's very hard to prepare. I mean, people try to do it. You try to do it.
Yeah, you try.
But to practice like a...
But to practice and you know you're starting and you're going against the number one practice squad, you're getting the starting looks with your starting receivers, your starting running back, your starting offensive line.
Yeah.
Your fit and your timing is different. If you're not getting every single starting rep, then you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. But... if you're going to try to rotate and play Bryson Barnes a little bit, then he better get a couple of those.
He has to have some reps. And I would say it's likely that you'll see a little bit of a quarterback rotation this week, assuming that Cam is not starting. I just, like, leading up to this game, it felt like there were better opportunities for Cam Rising to get snaps. Weber State. That would have been a good opportunity yeah. to get snaps. I understand that he may not have been medically cleared to get snaps in that game. This isn't the ideal scenario. On the road, hostile environment, team that just lost. I mean, it's a difficult...
They averaged 3.5 sacks.
Yeah.
They averaged 7.5 TFLs. They're big hitters in the backfield.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if Cam Rising went running out there because we've been led to believe that physically he's able. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ran out there. But it would probably raise an eyebrow.
At yeah. this point, I think I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I am too.
I think you're right, Frank. I think you're right on the money. With kind of your evaluation of when and what's going on with Cam. So if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I'm preparing with Nate Johnson and I'm preparing with Bryson Barnes and I'm starting to prepare myself for the potential.
For those guys the rest of the year.
For the potential outcome of not having Cam Rising.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I maybe we don't want to get too much into this, but just thinking about it practically for Cam Rising, does it make sense for him to jump into the fray 6 games into the season? I don't know.
If they're undefeated at that point...
Yeah, if they're undefeated...
Does he look at it like, what could we do? We're 6-0. Now, he's got the tougher stretch of schedule in front of him at that point.
Yeah.
He has the gauntlet. He would have the gauntlet.
But that's why the Cal game makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Like, if he doesn't play against Cal, he doesn't start against USC.
No.
I don't think so.
In the Coliseum.
Cal is the Alamo, but Oregon State is just another big tail sign. It started with the tail sign of the first half of Weber State.
Mm-hmm.
It rolled into the following week and has now culminated into this UCLA and now Oregon State situation where it just – that's why, I don't know. I don't have any insight. I'm just following your guidelines on it. I think you're seeing it the right way, Frank. Yeah.
Well, that all of that said, I mean, it's – I hate to see that happen for Cam Rising – and for the University of Utah football team, because those two together have won a lot of games and are really, really good. And it makes this offensive unit a different – it makes productivity a lot different, I think. But the truth is, I think you're right, Hans. At this point, and Scotty, you can't rely on it. You can't rely on that. So this is what you have. Nate Johnson, Bryson Barnes – Now, how does Andy Ludwig use those assets to manufacture enough points to win football games? Does he have the ability to do that? People have said the wide receiver group's a liability. I'm not so sure I believe it's a liability. I think there's talent at the wide receiver group. I especially like Mikey Matthews. I think he could become more of a key component of this offense, not just catching the ball downfield, but maybe utilizing him in the run game as well, trying to spread the defense out.
Fly sweeps out of the backfield.
Absolutely.
You know, you watch that Utah State, how they use Terrell Vaughn.
For sure. I really like that. So that's one guy. I think the tight end group has been underutilized.
Yeah.
At this point.
What do you think of Landry King?
Well, how about that? Yeah. I mean, now that makes four tight ends for the University of Utah that have all caught passes this year. So there, I would think you have to get more productivity out of that tight end group. I mean, I could see a scenario where you have on the field two wide receivers and maybe three tight ends. Put one near the line of scrimmage, spread a couple out. Like, those guys create mismatches.
Yeah.
On the defensive side.
How about this number? Was the touchdown to Money Parks, was that the first play of scrimmage in the Florida game?
Yes. Yep. I know. Tell this.
Ever since that touchdown pass to Money Parks, Utah has thrown exactly two touchdown passes the rest of the season.
Jeez.
They have three total.
And you have to get Nate Johnson comfortable throwing the ball. He's, like you said, he's demonstrated the ability to throw the ball downfield at times. And you may have to tailor the offense a little bit for him. But he has the ability to stretch a defense. And I think they're just maybe going to have to give him that opportunity to do that.
Mm.
The issue is Coach Whittingham just doesn't want to risk turning the ball over like that. He can't abide turning the ball over.
So, okay, let me give you my theory on this. You tell me if I'm right. Only 2 rushing yards last week against UCLA for Nate Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
This is my theory. I think he wanted to sit and throw a little bit. I think he wanted to push it out there a bit and just say, hey, if we're going to move forward like this, I need you to see film of me making a read.
Yeah.
He wasn't staring at the same receiver. I did multiple film breakdowns of him, showing him on play action looks as he's faking the ball and coming and turning into his throw. He's got his head off to the right and then comes back to the left on a couple of throws.
Mm-hmm.
On that throw to, it was Jalen Glover off the left side.
Uh-huh.
On that throw to Glover, he wasn't staring down Glover the whole way. That was a nice read into coverage, and that was a throw to the open receiver.
Yeah.
So I've got a theory that he went into that game thinking, hey, I can do more than just run. But 2 yards against Oregon State is not going to get it done.
Yeah.
What is your theory with 2 yards and Nate Johnson rushing?
Was that Nate Johnson or was that Andy Ludwig?
Because he had 14 rushing attempts.
Yeah, my theory on it is that UCLA was playing like they just were selling out against the run. They were packed up to the line of scrimmage. They were selling out against the run. And they just made a decision to, like, hey, you know, Utah, if you're going to beat us, then try to throw the ball. But we're selling out.
Which would explain 11 tackles for a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, would you be surprised if Oregon State did this? I mean, that's their game. Would you be surprised if they did exactly the same thing?
No, they're capable, and they're going to try.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So that's what I'm saying. If you got to have a Bryson Barnes element, have something. Just don't be caught this is all we got, and we got nothing else.
But what about this? I mean, you know as well as anybody, as much as you want to put a pass rush on somebody, if the quarterback catch a 3-step drop, you rarely get a sack. You rarely get a hit on the quarterback. Out of the shotgun, a catch and a 1-step throw, even if you're rushing everybody, you're not going to get to the quarterback. And Utah has some of the assets to create mismatches on the defensive side. So what if you just got the ball to Mikey Matthews in the flat, 2 or 3 yards downfield, and just said, hey, we're going to just give it to our athlete and see if he can make a play. What if you threw it to Yasmin 2 or 3 or 4 yards downfield?
Yeah, I've got no problems with that.
Like, so that's what I'm saying about manufacturing a pass game that more fits what Nate Johnson is capable of doing. Like, quick, get rid of the football. You eliminate the pass rush by your ability to get rid of the football early. I mean, I think that's just one strategy that you can employ. By the way, this is like, these things aren't revolutionary ideas. People do this stuff all the time. Andy Ludwig has done stuff like this regularly. So as we continue down the season and Nate Johnson progresses, I think what everybody is just saying is like, this is the part of his game that needs to go the next step.
Well, guys, one of my big points of this is, if they get to 2.5 quarters of play against Oregon State and they're not scoring offensive touchdowns, do something different. And if it's Bryson Barnes, it's Bryson Barnes. If it's fly sweeps to Mikey Matthews, or it's screens out to Mikey Matthews, or it's drops to do something different. And if I see the same Will that's trying to turn that's not scoring, it's going to get maddening, especially if Oregon State has the lead.
Well, and if Oregon State's pressuring the line of scrimmage, you're going to have coverages that allow a receiver to get downfield. And you can get rid of the ball fast enough downfield to stretch a defense. And Mikey Matthews runs well. Money Parks runs well. Like, you could have that opportunity on the offensive side.
All right, Hans and Scotty, coming up next, over under, and then we'll wrap this thing up, get you ready for Unrivaled. It's all straight ahead. We're live here at Tim Daly Infinity, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
One of the biggest stories in the country was the missing F-35 jet. Guy was flying it around, for some unknown reason decided to bail. Apparently flew like 60 miles and then crashed. And let me tell you, this witness was on a television broadcast, and I'm telling you what, Ben, this is my new favorite human on the planet.
I was in the bathroom taking a shave, and I heard a screeching, between a screech and a whistle.
They should replace the cougar growl with that.
That's another cougar first down. Oh, it's so much better. That's another Aggies first down. Oh, man. You know what? Who's producing Utah State these days? Whenever Scotty has a touchdown call, that needs to be dropped in there.
Jake and Ben, weekdays from 10 to noon, presented by Any Hour Services. Call or schedule online at anyhourservices.com on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home for the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a huge battle for the Utes as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Mountain Land Supply on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
It is your Q2 preview show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, counting you down to Utah and Oregon State. All right, time for our over-under segment. We take some headlines and some possibilities in the game, and we put a fix a number to it and say whether or not we'll go over-under. I think we all know the answer to this one, or at least I think we'll all have the same prediction, but let's start with Cam Rising snaps, 0.5. Essentially, does Cam Rising play in this game?
Under.
Under.
Yeah, I think we're all going under on this one. All right. Oregon State passing yards coming into this game, averaging 203 yards through the air. I'm going to set it at 199.5.
Under.
Oh, I set that too fast. I'm still going to go with the under.
All right.
Yeah, give me the under.
Okay. Oh,
that's a good one.
Last week, Dante Moore was at 234. That was DJ through the air?
Yeah, DJ through the air. Oregon, well, whatever quarterback of Oregon State against the Utah defense.
Just Oregon State passing yards.
Yeah.
199?
199.5. I'm going to go over.
Give me the over.
All right, hands is going over. Damian Martinez averaging 108 yards on the ground for Oregon State. I'm going to put the number against Utah at 89.5.
Rushing offense?
Rushing.
Yeah. Right. No, just him.
Just him. Damian Martinez.
89.5.
I'm going to start. I'll go under.
I'm going to go under.
Might have set that a bit high.
I would say 90 yards is reasonable, but yeah, I'm going to go under on that.
The under.
All right. Oregon State coming in averaging 3.5 sacks a game. How often do they get to Utah? I'm going to set the line at 1.5.
Over.
2.5 seems too much.
Yes,
but 1.5 seems too low. I didn't know how to handle that
one. Yeah, I'm going over on 1.5.
Oregon State turnovers?
No, Oregon State sacks versus Utah.
Right now, Utah is giving up 2 sacks a game. They've given up 8 sacks for 54 yards. Give me the over.
Okay, hands goes over just to mix it up. I'll take the under. All right, Oregon State, third downs against the Utah defense. Oregon State converting third downs 47% of the time. Utah only allowing third down conversions 19% of the time. So let's try to – I'm going to set it at 34.5.
Give me the under.
Hands is going under. I'm going to go over.
On Oregon State, third down conversion?
Yep, they'll run the ball. They'll have a bunch of third and shorts in this game.
34?
Yeah, 34.5.
Whoa. I think if Utah wins the game, they're going to have that be under on that, so I'm going to go under.
Well, I don't think Utah wins this game.
What? Is this breaking news?
No, I've said it all week. I've said all week, if Nate Johnson plays this game, Utah's losing.
Oh, man. Do you also think UConn's going to beat Utah State? I mean, that's very similar to this.
Really? You think so? 0-4?
Scenario.
An 0-4 UConn versus Oregon State?
It is on the road in 2 time zones. I mean, don't forget that.
Total Utah forced turnovers. Utah's forced 12 turnovers on the season. 2.5. Does Oregon State turn it over 2.5 times? 2.5.
Under.
If Utah gets over 2.5 turnovers, I think they win this game.
Well,
and saying that they're clean too. I am gonna go.
They got 2 turnovers from UCLA.
Yep.
Yeah.
A pick and a fumble.
Yeah. I.
They gave up 1. That was on a Nate Johnson fumble, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yes, which I thought was going to get him ripped out of the football game.
And I think if there were options, he probably would have.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think that I'm gonna go under. I want to go over so badly, but I guess.
Total Utah rushing yards on the season, they're averaging 165 on the ground. I'm going to put the line at 149.5. Utah rushing yards against the Oregon State defense.
Say again. What was the yardage?
149.5.
Give me the under.
Utah rushing yardage against Oregon State, 149.5. I think they have to rush for 200 yards.
All right. Frank's going over.
Give me the under.
Hans is going under. I'm going to go.
You're going to go under.
And I'm going over.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Utah sacks versus Oregon State. Utah has picked up 14 sacks on the season. Obviously had a big game last week against UCLA. Let's go 2.5 sacks against Oregon State.
I'm over.
Under.
I'm over, for
I
sure.
I am going under.
There's no question.
Frank is going over.
They're going to get
under
7 sacks.
All right, Utah only has 3 wow. passing. Utah only has 3 passing touchdowns on the season. I'm going to say 1.5 in this game.
Under.
Under.
How about if I put it at 0.5?
Over.
Under.
What did you say?
Right under.
All right, I'll set it at 0.5.
What?
Over.
Hans is going over.
You were going over at 1.5.
Guess
no,
what?
I was going under.
Guess what? I will go under.
I'm going over.
All right.
Yeah, they'll have one passing touchdown.
They gotta have. They have to.
But I don't hate your pick, Scotty.
It's good. Yeah. That's a good one. Oh, that's a. By the way, do you know Oregon State hasn't fumbled the ball this year?
Hey, Oregon State has not put a fumble out there yet.
No, they haven't fumbled the ball yet this year.
Just for poops and
all right,
giggles.
All right, here we go.
Tiebreaker.
No, hold on a sec. Utah fumble recovery.
One.
Recovery versus OSU, 0.5.
Over.
Frank,
Oregon hasn't fumbled yet. They have to fumble.
You're just saying law of averages, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be wet and rainy.
I'll say over.
It always rains in
Hands under
Beaver under. Stadium. What's the name of that stadium?
A Resner or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. You're right.
Hey, for the tiebreaker, can we guess the total Utah rushing yards?
Sure.
We did do that.
No, we did an over-under, but this will be the tiebreaker.
So it's the number. It's the closest to it.
Okay.
Put me down for 102.
Ooh, wow. All right.
Utah doesn't get out of that game if they rush for 102 yards.
I think I know what Hans is predicting here. I'm going to go 155.
75.
So Oregon State is giving up an average of 69.
I know what the numbers are. I know.
Nice.
But if Utah.
That's a nice number. What are you talking
this
about?
This is twice, at least today, that Scotty's be better. Yeah.
That makes them number seven in the country.
Utah's going to have to rush the ball for 175 yards to win. Like. I just don't see a scenario. Do you? Do you see a scenario where Utah rushes for 100 yards
no.
and wins the game?
Nate
Johnson throws for 350 yards.
But they don't. That's the line. I mean, that's essentially what Hans is saying. They don't win this game.
Yeah. Well, they're going to.
You guys realize that if Oregon State stops them up, if Oregon State stops up Nate Johnson, you got to figure out something different. If Nate can't get out there with his feet, you got to figure out something
different. Well, all you're saying is put in Bryson Barnes. That's what you're saying. If you got to figure out something different, then put in Bryson Barnes. Is that what you're saying?
It could be that, or it could be direct snap to Mikey Matthews. I don't know. Do something.
Yeah.
If they're stopping up Nate Johnson, if he's because the whole thing that makes him a usable quarterback is his running game. If he thinks he's going to sit in there and be cute with his passing game, that's not how they're going to win.
All right. We'll get those final predictions coming up next. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. It's a huge Pac-12 showdown for Kyle Whittingham and the Utes as they hit the road to Corvallis for a battle with Oregon State. Listen all week long for the best coverage of Utah football. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 6 p.m., presented by Zions Bank, with the postgame show immediately following the game. from Monday morning to the post-game press conference, your home for the best coverage of youth football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up another edition of the Ute Preview Show. Tomorrow will be a football Friday, but let's get some final score predictions on this one. Frank, let's start with you. Utah, Oregon State, when we get together next week, what score are we going to be talking about between these two teams?
Utah with a stunning victory, 3-0. This could be the game that goes that way, 3-2. Okay, so Utah, oh, man, 24-21.
Wow, okay. I am taking Oregon State 21-17. Hands?
Hands is consulting
Utah,
the stars.
12. Oregon State 10.
I love that score. That's such a great score.
I hope you
Do
nail
they
that
kick
one.
Four field goals?
Yep.
Yes.
Or miss two extra points?
I don't know, man. It's going to be a weird thing. It'll be something like that. If Utah's going to win it, it's got to be something in that range.
Yep.
Well, that's good. 12-10. I would love that. If it's 12-10. Then we're drinking milkshakes next week.
Yes.
I'm in.
Yes.
Okay. I'll do it.
Yes.
All right.
Early eggnoggers.
No.
Oh.
No.
No eggnoggers. But what about that, you know, the one place, the custard thing?
That's good.
No,
it's the custard.
Waste of money.
I'm all about it. Just no eggnog. Do they have an eggnog flavor? Because if they do, don't get it.
Sure. It's that time of year.
Yeah. No pumpkin spice.
Okay, either. Yeah, I was going to say, what would you rather, eggnog or pumpkin spice?
You want a candy bar flavor. Is that what you want?
Like a caramel chocolate chip or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Those are tasty. That Almond Joy one you get's good. The coconut.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And the nuts.
That's good.
And the open air for you. Okay, nothing. And the chocolate swirls. So good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right,
delicious.
Unrivaled coming up next. Big thanks to Tim Daly Infinity for hanging out, for letting us hang out here today. Remember, great interest rates, great trade-in options, great inventory. The only place in the state of Utah where you can buy an Infinity is right here, Tim Daly Infinity. Make sure to stop by and check it out. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.